Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, let's open the scriptures to Revelation 19. Woo! There was a... I'm going to call him a scholar at the pastor's conference, and he's invited all over the world, London and different conferences, especially if it deals with anything about the end times, tribulation and millennium and those kind of things, or rapture. And he's a professor in college and does all these other things too. And so Dan and John and I were sitting behind him. Oh, let me clear up one thing. Something wrong with my throat, so just ignore it. Think about what we're studying, because what we're studying is vitally important. We're getting near the... I think we're getting close to a lot of these things coming to being. But anyway, we asked him. I leaned over and I just tapped him on the shoulder and I said, "Have you have a notebook or a book or form on the Book of Revelation, since that's your expertise?" He said, "No." He said, "What I do have, I have it on in my computer and PowerPoint slides." And I'm not embarrassed. I just said, "Well, can I get a copy of that?" And I said, "Yeah." So I had to give him one of these little sticks. And he put it on during all morning. And he gave it to us. And when we got home, we looked at it. Wasn't that impressed with Revelation, but I see what he's doing now. and I'm going to use some of his slides, not tonight, but I'm going to use some of his slides, and just what different people do. And but first of all, let's talk about prayer. We need to be in prayer. Now, Eve is not feeling bad. Eve's brother died, and she is going to Arkansas for the funeral. And so we'll just be in prayer for her and her travel while she's there, coming back, and then for the family of her brother and just the family all there. Not for her brother. We don't need to pray for him. But so that's where Eve is. And Nancy Becker fell last night. She was getting out of bed, but she seems to have caught herself and just hurt her nose a little bit. And so let's just be in prayer. I called her and I said, hey, you got to be like me. Just be careful when we're walking around in the dark. And so let's be in prayer for Nancy. We need to be in prayer for Harold Simonson. Was up there Sunday afternoon, and two doctors that he has came in. And really, I was really impressed, especially with one. He came in. He said, "I met him," and he said, "Okay, you're a pastor. I don't know if I should say it, but I'm a butt and gut doctor." I said, "Okay," and just a super guy, individual, and he's very patient. He is 100% the opposite of House. So, however you envision House, this man is 100% the opposite. Excellent bedside manners and interest, and just kept going over things. Be sure that Harold and Lila understood everything, and what the process was going to be, and options, and different things. So, he was just really. Just wonderful to talk with him. So let's continue. And Harold went home yesterday, or Sunday afternoon after I left. So let's be in prayer for Harold and Lila. Be in prayer for Tish as she continues to battle through her cancer. We need to be in prayer for our Cadence. Anything else? Yes, sir. This week. Okay. Now, do they know they're going to do a series or just one to see what happens? We don't know. Okay. All right. Yes. Is Sherry on the list? Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't remember, you know, all of them, so please do that. While I'm thinking about it, John Hintz's friend, John, and his wife, Jean, is being in prayer for them. And he's not having any treatment this week. So he had every day last week, but none this week, and he's doing feels real good, and just has a good attitude. So be in prayer for John and Jean. any other prayer requests? Yes. That's Harold. Okay. And how old is Harold? 83 with staph infection. Okay. Well, we need to be in prayer for Harold. I'm sorry? Okay. All right. Some nurse should probably have said to him, "Well, you must like us. You come back so often." And, well, let's be in prayer for Harold. And that, by all means. Jeremiah, how you doing? Just in general, you never ask us for prayer. But you're always in my prayer. Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer as we get ready for Revelation 19. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to assemble ourselves with each other to worship you to fellowship with each other and to open the text. Let your Spirit open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. You did not leave us blind about the future. It's the nature, the way that you made us. We have that curiosity, desire to know. And you did not leave us wanting. You have given us a look at history, the events of history, the rapture of the church, tribulation, the millennium, and then the eternal state. And we just praise you, Father, for your benevolence, your understanding our need, and being compassionate. Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, it's been a while since we've done Revelation. Don't want to know how long it's been, but it's been a while. And so since it's been a while, let's just get ourselves oriented. And I want to try to go through 19 through 22 rather quickly. So let's just get ourselves oriented. The book of Revelation. First of all, you remember the things, dividing it into a very simple way. Three big things. Things you have seen, chapter 1. Things which are, chapter 2 and 3, which are about the church. And the rest of the book about things that shall be, chapters 4 through 22. So, things you've seen, the glory of Christ, things which are, church age, things which shall be, that deals with the rapture, all these things. Okay. The things you've seen. Now, I had to lower it. I hope you can read that, but I need to get a certain amount on each page so that it'll make sense to you. So, the things you've seen, A is a first vision, glories of Jesus Christ in chapter 1. The things which are, this is the seven churches, chapters 2 and 3. The things that shall be, the end of human history. The activity in heaven, chapters 4 and 5. And then activity on earth, chapters 6 through 20. Now, sometimes it'll go up to heaven, but this is the basic understanding and grasp of this book. More people are talking about the book of Revelation, so you'll want to kind of get these things under your belt. Then the tribulation and the chapters 6, 1 through 19, 6. That's Daniel's 70th week. The tribulation is Daniel's 70th week. We might go through Daniel at some point, but I got some other things I want to do when we do finish the book of Revelation. The second coming of Christ, chapters 19, 6 through 21. The millennium and the last judgment, chapter 20. The eternal state, chapters 20 through 22. The eternal Jerusalem. The closing of the canon of Scripture, chapters 22, 6 through 21. So that very end deals with the eternal Jerusalem, the closing of the canon of Scripture, don't add to it, and these kind of things. Okay, so that gives us a big, broad concept of what's going on. Now, made this up some time ago, so let's see if you can see it here. Chapters 1 through 5, chapter 6 through 19:5, chapter 19:6 through 22:21, the end of the book. Okay, before the tribulation, chapters 1 through 5, I couldn't get it anything, but draw a line right here and a line right here if you're going to make notes of this. So, the chapter 1 through 5 before tribulation, then the tribulation, chapter 6 through 19:5, after the tribulation, 19:6 through 22:21, the end of the book. Now, this gives you a good feel of this whole book and what's going on and where things fit in. And we're in one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, chapter 19 of Revelation. Okay, chapters 1 through 5, before the tribulation, things that were. Then chapters 6 through 19, the six seals, chapter 6. The seals are introduced in chapter 6. And then the second advent, in chapter 19, 6 and following. Now, what we did, and I won't do it, I guess, tonight, but kind of go through and see if you recall what each chapter about. Well, I think I do have it where I can do that. So, but this will give you a head start on it. Then, chapter 1, things that were, the trumpets under the tribulational period have seals, trumpets, chapters 8 through 9, the millennium. It all comes up because to make it this way, I couldn't do it any other way than it all, the whole line comes across. Seven churches, chapters 1 through 5, the plagues. So we have seals, trumpets, and plagues. Plagues are chapter 16. Second Advent, millennium, the white throne. Chapters 2 through 3 is the seven churches. And then the plagues are chapter 16. I don't know why I'm pointing down here. The white throne and the eternal state. In heaven, chapter 1 through 5 primarily, chapters 4 and 5 are in heaven. Okay, that just gives you a rough idea. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. We note the chapters of the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. I don't think every one of us are going to know this, all seven of the, or six of the seals and all seven of the trumpets and all seven of the bowls. So what I did, thinking about this, I went, you know what, I can't even do that. So what is it I want you to grab about those as you think about it? And if you hear somebody talking about it, talking about the seals or the trumpets or the bowls, or actually the plagues. And I want to just summarize them so when you hear them, you'll have an idea of what they deal. The seven seals. These are disasters at the beginning of the tribulation. The church goes up and you have the 144,000 Jews that are saved. And then the disasters start occurring at the beginning of the tribulation. So just think of these. And as a matter of fact, while I'm at it, I don't know what else I got. The seven trumpets will follow the seven seals. Let me go back one step even further than that. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. You're looking at the grace of God. They're horrible. They're terrible. But you're looking at the grace of God. He sent six seals, because the seventh seal takes in the trumpets and the bowls. But the seals, God is trying to get their attention. Come back to me. Come back to my son. Just like the plagues in Egypt with Pharaoh. What were they for? They were to get Pharaoh's attention to come back to God and to deal correctly with God and with the Jews. So the seven seals and the seven trumpets, they didn't respond to the six seals. So he now comes in with the six trumpets. The six, because the seventh trumpet will be the bowls. And they still don't respond. So it just gets worse and worse and worse. And finally, the seven plagues will occur the last half of the tribulation. Okay. To get man's attention to turn to God, Jesus Christ. The white horse, I've just gone through it so you get in your mind. These are the seven seals. The one first seal is the white horse, Cold War. So the church is gone. First thing that's going to happen is Cold War. There's going to be killing. It's going to be friction, but it's not universal yet. So that's the white horse. Then you have, well, you're supposed to have. The mouse. Oh, here. Let me get rid of this. Okay, the red horse. This is open war. So the church is gone, and people, things are going to be bad on earth when the rapture occurs. All this just doesn't all of a sudden happen. The Antichrist is already on earth, and I think he's alive now, and I think he's somewhere right now. But whatever way it goes, it's going to get worse, and we can see this happening in our own time. It's just getting worse against Christians, Christianity, and the Jews. So you got the white horse, Cold War, the red horse, open war, the black horse, famine. So after the war, you've depleted all the resources, so you got a famine. Then the Ashen, that's a pale horse, death. And it's going to be death throughout the whole world. What's interesting here is if we keep track, how often a third of mankind is taken off the earth. So we start off, anybody know what the population of the earth is right now? I meant to look it up. A billion? Okay, let's say a billion. So you got a billion, and you take a third in one of these. Then you're going to have a third of that third. Not a third of the whole, but a third of the ones that are left. So they're going to have death, universal death. The slain martyrdom. So this is be occurring. And then extreme violence upon the physical earth. I didn't know how to write everything out, so I just put it that way. This is going to be from the heavens. This is going to be the earth, earthquakes, earth disasters. And people, we get a feel of that just from here in our own area, what happened down in New Orleans area. We can get a feel of how this is going to be bad. Famine. It's going to affect all of these things. And the most wonderful thing you and I can do is be thankful that our Savior is not going to let us go through this. Because this is not going to be good. It is not going to be good. Okay. So those are the seven seals. But they would not listen. So now we go to the seven trumpets. The sixth seal, or the seventh seal, is the beginning of the seven trumpets. Okay. So, seven trumpets. They did not listen to the message of the six seals. So now God intensifies the disasters on earth. More grace, and I mean it. I see this as more grace. I don't see this as judgment. I don't see this as all that. This is God's grace. I tell people, be careful what you pray. You pray, God, whatever it takes to get my brother, my mother, my father, my child to see and believe in Jesus Christ, and then 3 days later, they get cancer or something horrible happens, and you just, oh, God, why'd you do that? You prayed it. Because that's the only thing that would get their attention, if you believe in the power of prayer. And do whatever you have to do, God, to get their attention to the gospel. And their baby dies or something happens. Well, you prayed it. So be careful. You mean it. And so God does what he has to do to bring us back to him. And this is what we have here. This is grace. But again, they would not listen. So the first trumpet, hail and fire on earth. One third of earth is burned. Now just think about that. One third of the earth is burned. So this is all over the world. Okay? Second trumpet, burning on the sea. One third of the sea turns to blood. One third of all sea animals die. Think about that. What is this going to do to the economy? Going to do to people in the fishing business? All these things. Third trumpet, the wormwood. Upon one third of the waters. This is the rest of the waters. Fourth, the sun, the moon, the stars are darkened by one third. One third is all that they'll put out. Fifth, demonic locusts upon the earth. Now, the thing about this little locust upon people, not the earth, upon people. What are we most familiar with locusts? They eat plants. They eat your crops. They eat your flour, all of these things. People, they're going to gnaw on people. But the people will not die. They're not going to die when this locust thing comes in. Now, I don't know. I know I'm hard-headed. But I think I would get the hint. I would think, okay, you're real. This is good. I believe in you, son. I would like to think I'd have that much sense. But they don't. They do not respond. Yes. I'm sorry. Wormwood is a it's a type of a worm that inflicts disease. Okay. Oh, man will always try to scientifically say. Yeah. And it happens just boom, 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 boom. And no, nope. Now, they're going to try, I'm sure, on NBC and ABC. They'll try. And they'll do that. So, yeah. It's all right there. It's right there for him. And the sixth one is horsemen upon people. And this is where God sends in these horses. Then, and a third of those will die. So this is a bad period of history. And God getting there, trying to get their attention. So we have all of these things happening. And, you know, you ask, how to explain it away. One of my favorite Bible jokes is a guy at work said he believed the Bible. And this guy, oh, you don't believe it. Now, let me just take the crossing of the Red Sea. And all of the Egyptian army drowning. The Red Sea wasn't but 3 inches deep, if that, at that time. And he just goes, praise God, what a miracle. No, you don't understand me. I'm telling you that there's just 3 inches. And he says, praise God. He said, what do you mean, praise God? A whole Egyptian army drowned in 3 inches of water. So if your faith is there, nobody can discourage you. Okay. Yes. Men, women, children. Not just men. Population. They're a third of the population. Well, we had one third taken out. We had two thirds left. Now we take a third of that, so we have one third population. The seventh trumpet sounds out the seven bowls or the seven plagues. So this is what the seventh trumpet does when it sounds out. Okay. The seven bowls are the seven plagues. And all I'm doing here real quick, I just want to get back into it. I don't expect you to remember these things, but just so you'll know what the seals were. Well, those were the first things. They weren't really bad, they were bad, but they didn't respond. So he turned on the heat a little bit more. And turned on the heat in the trumpet judgment. And now he's turned up the heat in the seven plagues. Seven plagues, second half of the tribulation. Okay. Begin the second half. The anti-God people continue to harden their heart. First plague, malignant sores upon men. All population. Second, and there's nothing they can do for them. There's no salve. There's nothing they can do. It's just your children, adults, old people, young people. Boy, you just, when you go through this, you got to get things that God's going to take us home. Second plague, the sea turns into blood, and all sea life dies. Third, all other waters turned into blood, rivers. Okay, turn into blood. That means no, you can't get anything out of them, can't get any water out of them. Water's going to be at an all-time shortage. And I got these people, and I'm one of them, we carry around our little bottle of water. Ain't no bottle of water you can carry around. I don't know where you're going anyway, but all other waters are turned into blood. So it's heating up. Now, the sun was cut off a third of its power. Now, the sun is so hot, it scorches mankind. I mean, it's hot. It's even in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, they can't just say, well, it's a dry heat. No, this will get you. This is heat over all the earth. And you're not going to feel like going out and getting a suntan either. Fifth, darkness upon the earth. This is the things you were asking. There's no explanation. The sun, and then now it's all dark upon the earth. Sixth, river Euphrates dries up, releasing unclean spirits who look like frogs, and make the way by drying up. They make a way for the millions to cross over to Armageddon from China, from the east. They'll be able to cross over quickly and get to Armageddon which we're getting close to at this time. So all the armies. What they did do, they did not respond to God. But what they did is, it's these Jews. It's these Christians. So let's go over and kill them. So that's what they'll do instead of believing in Christ. The seventh, worldwide severe earthquakes, just natural dilemmas. You can read them, but I'm just going through them very quickly. It's going to be severe earthquakes and horrors like that upon the earth. Okay, so I hope you understand a little bit about the seals, the trumpets, the plagues, what they're for, how they get more severe, and how man hardens his heart against God. Okay, chapter flow by subjects. Chapter 1, Revelation of Jesus Christ. 2 and 3, the church. What's 4 and 5? Church is gone, so where are we? In heaven. So 4 and 5 are going to be in heaven. And 4 and 5, chapter, be in heaven. Chapter 4 deals with God the Father sitting on a throne. Chapter 5, God the Son is going to be open the book. So 4 and 5 deal in heaven. So we move from earth to heaven. And chapter 4 is God the Father sitting on the throne. Chapter 5, the Son. Chapter 6 through 18, the tribulation, or Daniel's 70th week. Chapter 19, Second Advent chapter. Great chapter. The marriage of the Lamb. The battle of Armageddon. It's a lot of things going on in chapter 19. Chapter 20, the millennium and the last judgment. Not much time spent on the millennium. Chapter 21, verses 1 through 8, the eternal state. Chapter 21, 9 through chapter 22, 5, eternal Jerusalem. Chapter 22, 6 through chapter 21, the closing of the canon of Scripture. So this gives you a feel of each time I try to add a little bit more to broaden your understanding of the book. Chapter flow. What's chapter 1? Glory of Christ. Okay. Chapter 1, the glory of Jesus Christ. What's chapter 2 and 3? Church. 2 and 3, message to the seven churches. Well, wait a minute. Wait. All right. Chapter 4, we go where? Go to heaven. All right. So let's take that. Chapter 4 and 5, the heavenly setting. Glory of the Father, glory of the Son. Okay, what's 6? 6 is easy. Huh? No. 6 seals. 6. Yeah, 6 seals. 6, the first 6 of seals. Okay, chapter 7. Beautiful. 144,000 witnesses. Man, that's so good. Right. Yes. I don't know about young. Yes. Yeah. How many under 40 that are virgins? So that's 144,000. Okay, chapter 8. Anybody remember? 8 through 10, the trumpets. So we had the seals and the trumpets. Chapter 11. Chapter 11 is a little bit difficult to remember. Chapter 11 is the two witnesses who die. They're buried and then they rise up on the third. Elijah, yeah. So the two witnesses, this will be on worldwide television, all that. This still won't impress them. Chapter 12. Two contestants. It's a very important chapter in the Bible. Two contestants, Jesus Christ and the seven-headed dragon. And we have a great, great discourse there about how Satan came down as the serpent and wanted to stop the woman who is Israel from giving birth to Jesus Christ. Chapter 13, two beasts. Beast from the land and the beast from the sea. So, chapter 14, three angelic messages. The fall of Babylon Armageddon. 15, huh? Yeah, the angels giving their discourse. Chapters 15 and 16, the last seven plagues. Chapter 17, 18, destruction of Babylon, and false Babylon is destroyed. We had a speaker at the conference. Go ahead. Well, Babylon, yeah. False whore, the whore and the seven, yeah. Well, the whore is worldwide religion. Okay, we'll see why in a minute. Chapter 19, the second coming of Christ. Chapter 20, and then chapter 19, you got the Armageddon, you got a lot of things going on, but this just gives you a big scope if you want to put your hand on things. And chapter 20, the millennium and the final judgment. Chapter 21 and 22, the new heaven and the new earth. Okay. Chapter 19, Revelation 19. Let's just kind of go through this and see where we are in this chapter. The great, just put it on, it's one of the great chapters in all the Bible. Chapter 19, the second coming of Jesus Christ. The marriage supper of the Lamb is also in chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. The second coming of Christ, verses 11 through 16. The great supper and slaughter, we'll have to see what that is, but that's verses 17 through 21. Okay, marriage supper of the Lamb. Marriage supper of the Lamb. Great praise in heaven. Are four verses of the Hallelujah Chorus. We'll see it in four verses, and it covers verses 1 through 7 in the text. A, the first verse, first Hallelujah of praise, covers verses 1 and 2. Three subjects of praise, His salvation, our deliverance, because of His judgments against Babylon. B, the second Hallelujah praise, eternal victory. C, the third Hallelujah praise, third chorus, is verse 4. The fourth Hallelujah praise, God reigns forever, verse 6. Second part, marriage supper of the Lamb. Preparation of the bride, verse 8. Blessed are those who are invited, verse 9. The three classes are invited. Old Testament believers, church age believers, of course we're the bride, and believers of the tribulation. C, unauthorized worship by John, verse 10. We'll see what that means. 2, the second coming of Christ. 3, description of Jesus Christ at His second coming. Verses 11 through 16. On a white horse symbolizing victory, called faithful. He's called faithful. Both of those are in verse 11. So the thing is, the second coming, we have him on a white horse, he's called faithful. Eyes, he has eyes of fire, like a warrior, many crowns of glory. Verse 12. See, His name is Word of God, and we'll have to take a look at what that means. Verse 13. D, three units of armies following Him that do not fight. Three armies that follow Him that do not fight. Old Testament believers, church age believers, and an army of angels. It's verse 14. They don't fight, but they come back with Him. We come back. E, Jesus Christ will do all the fighting. Verse 15. His name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 16. Third part of this is the Great Supper and Slaughter. The Supper of the Great God, 17 through 20. Angels invite birds to come and eat those who died. These are the enemies of God. 17 and 18, we'll explain all that. B, the opposing army is led by the beast. Verse 19, and that is the battle of Armageddon. Final judgment for the beast, the dictator of the divided Roman Empire, the false prophet, and the dictator of Palestine. All the rest are defeated also. Verse 21. Marriage supper of the Lamb, second coming of Christ, the battle of Armageddon. So those are the great things that are dealing in this chapter. Okay, let me see here. Well, okay, I can't turn it off. One on the bottom will do it. Okay. Can you turn that off, I guess? All right, let's get to work on verse 1. Marriage supper of the Lamb, and the first thing we're going to have is a great chorus. Great heavenly singing. So, after these things, I, John, heard, and remember that most of this book are things that he sees, things that he hears. This isn't like a message. This is things that he sees, all these things. And this is all on hands work for him. I heard, as it were, a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying. Now, the scene shifts to heaven from earth. This will be the last vision seen in heaven. And this scene in heaven is divided into two parts. First part, verse 1, singing in heaven. Second part, verse 11, action in heaven. Singing over things that happened on earth. This is what they're singing about. Things that happened on earth. After the destruction of Babylon, there will be turmoil, panic on earth. But in heaven, there will be great singing in heaven. So, this is what we're seeing going on. And look back at verse 8, chapter 18, verse 20 a minute. Chapter 18, verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints, and apostles, and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. So now, this is an answer to that. This is their singing. So this is all of the heavenly voices rejoicing and singing. Now, praise here can be seen in four verse chorus. And the first verse is recorded in verses 1 and 2. Hallelujah, salvation, and glory, and power belong to God, because His judgments are true and righteous, for He has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and He has avenged the blood of His bondservants on her. So, this is the first chorus of our Hallelujah chorus. Now, this I find very interesting. As much as we think about Hallelujah and we sing Hallelujah, Hallelujah as a biblical word appears only in this chapter in all the Bible. Only here. And chapter 19, verses 1, 3, 4, and 6. Now, Hallelujah is used in this English, in the English, to express a great burst of happiness. There are four Hallelujahs here. Four Hallelujahs. Now, comes from the Hebrew halal, H-A-L-A-L, to praise, to commend, plus Yah, the shortened form of Jehovah or Yahweh, praise Yahweh, praise Jehovah, praise the Lord, which is the way it appears in the Old Testament. Look for a moment with me at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Excuse me, 102. Psalm 102. Psalm 102, verse 18. Excuse me, it's not 18. It's 102, verse 1. Psalm 102. Well, remember, Lord, something's not right here. Okay, let's throw 106. Psalm 106. I know this one's right. My computer just doesn't get things right sometimes. I don't know what its problem is. All right, Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Now, if this was in the Greek, hallelujah would be there. But it just says, praise the Lord, because that's what the Greek words mean. Praise, or commend. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? For He is good. There are only a few reasons given for praising Him and hallelujah with Him. One is, for He is good. Now let's look at 117. 117. Verse 2. For His love, we'll start with verse 1. Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud Him, all peoples. For His love is great toward us, so we praise Him for His love, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. So in chapter 117, we have two reasons for praising Him, giving Him hallelujah, is His love and truth. Now let's look at Psalm 135. Psalm 135. Verse 3, we have a reason for praising Him. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is lovely. Now His name, we'll get into this when we talk about His second coming, the name that will be on Him. So we'll save that for that point when we come to the importance of His name. What is His name? So now turn to Psalm 146. 146:10. The Lord will reign forever. Thy God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Why? He will reign forever. While we're at this point, just look down 147:1. Praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. People, we should do this all the time. To sing praises to Him. With our voice, with our life, and worship. It keeps you oriented. Praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant. And praise is becoming Him. So, now if you will, let's go to Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12, verse 5. Praise the Lord. By the way, we're not covering all the ones that are in the Old Testament, just some that are pertinent. Praise the Lord in song. Why? For He has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. See, well, we have people. Now, if there's a God, why are all these horrible things happening? And I know that's what they'll say in your tribulation when the seals and the trumpets and the plagues come. What kind of God would do all of this? He's trying to get your attention. Trying to get you back to Him. So verse 5, praise the Lord in song. That's hallelujah. In the transliteration in the Greek. For He has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. And then Jeremiah chapter 20. And the reason we're going there is because it gives us one more reason where we have a reason for praising Him. Jeremiah 20. Verse 13. Jeremiah 20, verse 13. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For He has delivered the souls of the needy one from the land, from the hand of evildoers. Now that's going to be important because we're going to study in chapter 19. One of the first reasons that we're going to have for praising him is for his salvation. Well, it doesn't mean salvation like eternal life salvation. It's deliverance. He will deliver them out of all of those horrible things. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 19 now. Verse 1. Praise the Lord. As I said, we should always praise the Lord with our tongue and singing, speech, and our prayers. We should do this in our lives. Our lives should be a praise of the Lord. Praise the Lord, orientation to grace, happiness over all that He is and has done. Now we have three specific praises: salvation, glory, and power belong to our God. Now all three of these have a definite article which specifies the salvation, the glory, and the power belong to God. So we're dealing with some specifics here. We're not dealing with the general concepts here. Salvation is always the work of God. Therefore, it's always received by faith alone. There are basically four salvations, each by His grace. Salvation 1, eternal life. Salvation 2, spiritual recovery from sin by faith in the Holy Spirit. Salvation, or deliverance through circumstances in life. We receive this every day. Salvation or deliverance from time into eternity, into eternal grace. But I believe the context, none of these are what we're talking about here. I don't think any of these are specifically what we have in mind. Now, all salvations are important, but I don't think that they're all important here. Context, salvation or deliverance of the saints, because that's why we were told, chapter 18, to give praise, because He has delivered His saints. So this is salvation and deliverance of the saints who made it through the tribulation or who died during the tribulation. So this is what we have here. Hallelujah, the salvation. That is, the salvation from the powers of darkness during the tribulation. Now, praise of the Lord is from chapter 18. It's not the cross. Now, that doesn't mean we don't praise Him for the cross. But in context, this isn't talking about praising Him for the cross. This is praising Him for the battle that occurred in the tribulational period. Deliverance of the earth from Satan's seductive power and killings. So, here Jesus Christ destroys religion. On the cross, Jesus Christ took care of sins. At the tribulation period, He will take care of religion. Therefore, the focus of the first verse of the Hallelujah Chorus, Hallelujah Praise, praise of God for His victory, His deliverance over the power of Satan in the tribulational period, over religion, which has led many astray, seduced many, charmed many, and killed multitudes. That'd be multitudes of believers, Jews. One of the primary aspects of the millennial kingdom is the absence of religion. Millennium is perfect environment. Why is it perfect? Absence of religion. Salvation and deliverance from religion will change the earth dramatically. Think of all the killings through history been by religion. And some of it involved Christianity, but religious Christians. But as has been the driving force by Satan to lead men away, to give them all these other options other than just trusting God. So all this idolatry, worship of the stars, making man God, all these things be done away with. So hallelujah, the salvation belongs to our God. Now, we should open our mouths in vesting in telling about religion and its evils. Religion runs the whole gamut through the Bible, from Cain, where he offered up God, to idolatry in the tribulational period. Most denominations under the Christian umbrella that include Jesus Christ, grace, salvation, faith, love, all these things, they use the right words They don't mean what we mean, people. You'll hear these people using these words. They don't mean what we mean. Got to know what the speaker is talking about. So Satan has something for everyone to help suppress the thought of God being devoted to God. All right. So, hallelujah. Most of these religions, especially the Christians who get involved in religion, are so concerned about sin. But man has been delivered from sin, saved from sin by the work of Christ on the cross. Hallelujah. We praise Him for that. But they are involved in great evils still on the earth. Evil of religion. Which evil God has delivered in our passage. Okay. It's really a shame that so few realize, understand, how evil religion really is. They will see a sinner, and boy, they'll just go over, wax eloquently to run him down. Turn around and praise some religious person. Doesn't know the first thing about Christ, especially doesn't know the first thing about the Holy Spirit. And so just the way the man is. Satan has done far more destruction in the human race through religion than ever through sin. Religion keeps more people away from the truth of the gospel than sin ever did, leading them totally away from it. So here we have heaven in heaven rejoicing over deliverance over religion in the tribulation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for the salvation, the deliverance. Heaven's values are so different from earth's. The earth cries, denies Christ. Heaven rejoices. At the cross, Jesus Christ delivered us from the guilt of sin. At the destruction of Babylon, Jesus Christ delivered from the power of religion. At Armageddon, He will deliver from the power of Satan himself. So we have those things taken care of. Sin at the cross, power of religion, tribulation, and at Armageddon, Satan. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to stop here before we get into glory, because I'll just barely get into it and have to repeat. So next Tuesday, we will continue the Hallelujah course. Any questions? Okay, let's close in prayer. Wow, what a chapter. And it starts right off, Heavenly Father, stirring us to give praise to You and Your Son. To give praise to You, the author of the plan. To give praise to Your Son who executed it. To give praise You, Father, for revealing all these things to us. You didn't have to do this. You didn't have to do this. You could have told us just trust You. But You had compassion. And You gave us insights into an area that we could never go, into heaven. Just as You did in the first book, Book of Job begins taking us into heaven. Give us a glimpse of what's going on. Chapter 5 of Revelation. Take us into heaven, giving us privy to information otherwise we would not have. So we praise You, Father. We praise You for these things. And we praise You, Father, that no matter how bad the environment may come on earth, we can just rest in peace. We've read the last chapter of the war. We know how it's going to end. So we can rest in peace. We don't need to be in fear and worry what's happening to America, what's happening to the world, what's happening to Americans. Don't they see and understand? We understand. So we praise You, Father, for the peace that You give us. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.